Wow. I didn't, I wasn't expecting to do this. Daniel phoned me up Monday, and to be honest, my first words were, no, I can't do it. I haven't done a share in over a year. But I spoke to my sponsor, and he just said to me, you know, how was it before you came and into NA, and how is it now? That's all you've got to remember, you know. And I come from what I thought was a normal family, you know, a middle class family. Everyone worked hard, and my brother and my sister, I've got a brother, you know, an older brother and an older sister, they were very academic. You know, my father was very academic, I struggled growing up because I didn't know then, but I know now, is I suffer with an illness of fear. I spent my whole childhood growing up thinking I'm not good enough, I can't achieve what they've achieved. You know, I can't sort of follow in their footsteps, you know. So, I didn't know that I had the illness then. You know, I do today. You know, I was a really naughty kid. You know, it wasn't nasty, I was just naughty. You know, always acting out, you know. Got expelled from schools. You know, and I first picked up when I was 14 years old. Alcohol. And for the next 36, 37 years, I used every day, you know. And as the years went on, you know, the drugs progressively got stronger and stronger. You know, I mean, I was using drugs that a lot of the people in this room have never even heard of. You know, that's how long it went on. And, you know, in that time, I got married, I run a business, had four beautiful children. And eventually, after 16 years of marriage and my using, you know, my wife had enough. And I don't really blame her, you know, because I never asked this woman to actually get married. You know, she got pregnant. And my mother, bless her, said, you've got to do the right thing. You know, because if that was, you know, that's how they were brought up. And I was quite happy to go along with that, you know. And of course, we had three more children. But my, you know, the way I treated it was disgraceful, you know, cheating and bringing, not coming home, you know. And what happened eventually is she'd had enough of that and she cheated on me with a friend. And my first thought was, how fucking dare you? You know, don't you know who I am, sort of thing? You know, but what that led to is literally me washing up gear all the time, you know? And that's when the actual real consequences started to happen. You know, I moved out of that family home, got myself a little flat. And in that time, me and my wife tried to reconciliate the marriage. And basically what was happening is she was coming around to my flat and we were just using together. You know, that went on for quite a long time. And I got myself into a lot of trouble with dealers. You know, and I can remember my last use-up. You know, I ordered an ounce at 7 o'clock at night. We both sat there and washed it up. By 12 o'clock at night, I was looking for more, you know. And I didn't have money to pay the people. And I just said to her, look, I've got to do something about this. I've got to go. And I left her and the four kids and just went down to Cornwall, you know, thinking that I could detox myself down there, you know. I literally went down there and bought a tent, and it was in April as well, and camped on the cliffs near Newquay on one of the coastal paths. I was really fortunate though, because for 6 weeks it was beautiful sunshine, and I did manage to stop using the the freebase, really. But, you know, my idea of clean was I drank every day. I smoked puff every day. You know, I took ease in the eat at night and went out, you know. But I'd stopped using the freebase, you know. And I ended up staying down there for nearly 3 years. You know, coming back once a month to see my children. You know, and after 3 years, I decided, right, that's it. I'm going to go back to London. Whatever consequences there, I'll deal with. So I came back to London, and the first week I was back, I got in contact with my best pal, who, when I left, he was still using. And he said to me, "Oh, come round. I went round to his house, and he said, "You stay the night, and, you know, because..." So I said, "Yeah." And basically, he pulled out a massive rock and went to me, "Look, I've got this." You know, me thinking that I was clean, really, I turned around and said to him, "Oh, no, don't do that anymore." You know, and he went to me, "Okay." He said, "Take that." He said, "I'll have it tomorrow." Yeah, and I went to bed, and within sort of 15 minutes of me going to bed, I could hear the door creak open. Yeah, I could feel him coming in, and I just went, "Yeah, I have that." And he went out, and he spent the whole night doing it. You know, we got up the next morning, and he went to me, "I can't believe that you never had none." And from that day on, he stopped using crack as well. Yeah, but we still drank, we still had pills, we still smoked puff. In fact, we were growing puff. You know, and after a couple of years, he started losing his voice, and he said to me, "Oh, I've made an appointment with the doctor." And I went with him to this appointment, and they'd done all the tests, and we went back, and they turned around and said to him, "You've got a tumour wrapped around your throat, right around your windpipe, and it was nothing we can really do about it, you know, other than just, you know, do the pain management thing." And for 6 months, I took him to all his chemo appointments and everything, and you know, eventually it killed him. And that sort of gave me license to go back out. And even though I was already out, really, because I was still, you know, I was sniffing loads, but because I wasn't washing it up, I thought it was fine, you know, because the consequences weren't massive. But that sent me back out, and in that, you know, while I was back out there, in that time, my ex-wife had met someone and wanted to move out, and kids didn't want to go with her. I said to her, "Look, I'll buy you out the house, and you know, they can stay with me and where they've grown up." And that's what I've done. I moved back in with the girls. But, you know, my using was sort of out of control again. And you know, I never came looking for recovery. What happened was, I was in my front room, because my three girls were all of an age where they were at work, you know, working. So I would wait till they went to bed, and then I would use all through the night. And literally an hour before they got up, I'd go into my bedroom and pretend I was asleep, wait for them all to get dressed and go out, and as soon as they went out again, I'd start using again. You know, but this one night, I was sitting in my front room with a pipe, 3 o'clock in the morning, and my eldest daughter walked in. And I just saw the fear in her face. You know, like, "What are you doing? You're bringing drug dealers to the house." And to pay lip service, I agreed that I'd sort of go to the doctors and tell the doctors that I was an addict, you know. And which I did, and they referred me to a drugs program, and she went on the computer, she found NA, and she went to me, "Look, you're going to go to these meetings." And for the first week, she would drive me to the meetings, and what I didn't know is she'd wait for me to go in, and she'd stay there sort of 10 minutes, 15 minutes, make sure I didn't double back out. Yeah. And I went to a little meeting in Stratford, And I remember sitting there, you know, I could hardly walk. I was using a stick at the time, yeah, because I've got a secondary illness. But I heard this guy sharing, and, you know, and he was sitting there in a nice suit. And he shared about it, where his using took him to being, you know, in a room in his own house, too scared to come out, you know, peeing in bottles because I was too scared to walk 15 yards to my toilet in case one of the girls saw me. And so I went to a day program, which is, you know, I know some people, you know, say that, you know, they don't work, but what they've done for me is they stopped me being on my own. So I'd spend all day in a day program and then come out of there and catch the 25 bus from Ilford down to the West End and go to a meeting. And then after the meeting, I'd go home. And I'd done this for quite a while. I managed to get... Well, I relapsed a lot at the beginning, you know. And, yeah, I managed to get clean. And then I sort of, for the first year or so, I was at loads and loads of meetings, doing everything that I was told. But after the first year, I sort of started to think, oh, you know what, I think I've got this. And, you know, things very sort of slowly started to slide. And, you know, just after 2 years, I was really only doing meetings. I wasn't doing any of the rest of the work. You know, and after I picked that 2 year key ring up, my best thinking was, you know what, I'm going to test this theory. Once an addict, always an addict. And I went out, bought an 8 for gear, washed it up. You know, the first lick was beautiful. The second lick was, you've got a daughter in that room. You've got a daughter in this room. If they find out what you're doing, you've just fucked up the last 2 years. You know? And like any good addict, you know, I made sure I used it all. But that fault, the whole time I was using that fault, would not leave me. Yeah, so it killed the buzz. There was, you know, there was no buzz because I was just feeling the guilt and the shame, and thinking if I get caught, you know, that, you know, it's all going to kick off again. And you know, I didn't even admit it at first. I was carried on going to meetings and just thought I'll keep stum. Yeah, but the people closest to me, one of them eventually turned around and said, what is fucking wrong with you? You know, you've just sort of changed. And, you know, I got honest with them. I said, look, I used, you know. And they were, you know, they were really good to me, really. But what I found out from that one using is in our literature is, you know, whenever we use drugs, we release our addiction all over again. And I had no obsession to go back to using, you know, to go and score again, but my head would not fucking shut up. You know, and that's taken over a year to actually shut it up to a point where it's actually, I've got a little bit of defence against it. You know, and yeah, I'm just so pleased to be, I'm just over 2 years again, and I'm so pleased to be, actually feel like I'm back in recovery. You know, to actually feel that I'm enough again, you know, because that's something I've really struggled with, you know, from the beginning, is actually, you know, Bob's okay, you know, and yeah, I'm just grateful for that, and I'm going to leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you.